File. And we're on page 107. Okay. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paschuchade Satarane Om Agena Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Hina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Pakadam Adam Dadati Svapadatikam Chakarupadubhisha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnave Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Hare
Evo. So page 107, a student is asking, although everything is in one sense in the mind, still when I feel hot, I find that others also feel hot. I conclude that it is hot. It seems that according to Berkeley, this is just going on in my mind. Sridhar Maharaj, you have to understand the fundamental truth that what is hot to you may be cold, environment, some other.
Subramanyam Prabhuji, can you mute your microphone?
Okay.
Some noise in the background. Okay, very
good. Okay.
There's some talking in the background, then maybe if you mute your mic, then we won't hear that. And you can hear us, but we can't hear you from you. When you want to speak, then you can unmute it. You have to understand the fundamental truth that what is hot to you may be a cold environment for some other organism. It is a question of degree. Our experience of coolness and heat depends on our degree of tolerance. What is cool to us may be hot to another. In this way, we have to adjust with the idea of reality. What is hot to me may be cool to another. Reality is one thing for human beings. It is something else for insects, worms, and other organisms. What is bright to us is dark to another. What is bright to an animal is dark to us. Do you follow? Here, Maharaj is explaining the noise.
I'm sorry, Maharaj. I'm just connecting our GPD, Prabhuji.
His phone is there. He's showing a phone sign. He has to connect to his telephone. So the point that is being made here is experience of the outer world is subjective, is in the mind. The experience that we have of the world is a matter of mind. What we consider something is to be hot. We say this fire is hot. Actually, for there are some living entities who need the fire to exist. Actually, the scientists have found that there are certain, what do they call, thermophiles. Thermophiles are organisms that require fire for their existence. They live in the fire. To us, fire will be destructive. To them, it is constructive. So what the absolute value of something is cannot be determined by our own subjective experience. This the scientists have not yet come to deal with. And that our subjective experience of phenomena. Subramanian Prabhu, do you know how to mute your phone? You know how to mute? In the Skype, there's a little microphone with a cross through it. on the bottom of the window. Do you see that? If you press that, it will mute the microphone, and the sound on the background will come to everyone. Can you see that?
Kiko, ay, kurita.
Prabhuji, Subramanian Prabhuji.
There is a conference, you know, that is a link, like conference. You know, you click that, then you find in the bottom, there is a microphone, you know, button. You can click that.
Where is it?
No.
You can see there is contacts, live, history, conference, Skype, like that. You know,
Prabhuji,
conference.
Do you see all of us? Do you see all of us? List.
Conference is there.
Yes, just click that. And then there is a, you know, below. And
call
is, you know,
below the call duration.
Microphone. You know, just click that.
Below the microphone.
Yeah. You know, there is a round green button above that, you can see.
Round green button.
Yeah, above that you can see that. Yeah, click that.
The green button is there?
No, the above that there is a three buttons, you know.
Only you menu and on.
There's one with two lines. Two lines, then a microphone, then a telephone sign, you see. Then a headset. Oh, I think you did it. Okay, now when you want to speak again, you will have to press that microphone and it will allow you to speak. Right now, we can't hear anything from you. Okay. Oh, have you done it?
I'm here for now.
Otherwise, you have, you have to request the others in the background to remain silent because everyone can hear their discussion from the background. If they can remain silent for an hour, quiet, please keep quiet.
I dropped him. Maharaji, I dropped him. I'll ask him. I'll just tell him. By the way, Maharaji, you can continue. I'll just tell him, actually.
We'd like him to hear.
Yes, Maharaji, I'll add him again.
He doesn't know how to operate it properly. So, as we were saying, the experience of the world, what we call the experience of the world, is something subjective. It is within us. What may be hot to us, it will not be hot to another organism, living organism. It's possible. Just like we see the owl can see that at the night, his eyes are very big. I've seen the owl eyes, he's very big. And he can take in a lot more light from the dark than we can. So he can see in the dark. Our eye is small and not so much powerful in the dark as the owl is. So, and in the night, and in the daytime, the light is too bright for the owl. He can't see anything. And the light can be so bright that you can't see anything also. That's the owl eye is like that. The light is so bright that it all looks dark to him. And he can't see anything. We can see everything in the light, but the owl can't see anything. And in the dark, owl can see and we can't see. Like that. So subjective experience is there. What is really there? That is another thing. The reality of the world, what we call the world. What that reality is, and that's in itself, that has in itself and by itself and for itself, reality. As it is, without our impression of it, that is how to understand that. That would be called absolute knowing, absolute knowledge. So, this is Berkeley's philosophy. Then, creation is of a variegated nature. The experience of our eyes and ears is different from the experience of others whose senses are different from ours. What we can hear, others cannot hear, but our ears cannot detect subsonic or ultrasonic sounds. Our ears can detect only a limited spectrum of sound. Our vision is limited. We can see neither infrared nor ultraviolet light. Our feeling, our sense of touch, is sensitive to an extremely limited degree. So all realities are coexistent. Reality is adjusted according to our own experience. Something feels cool to me, that very thing is hot to another. In this way, it is hot or cold according to our subjective experience. And so our reality will exist. So what is perceived by the mind is not imagination, it is reality. Although it is a mental thing, we consider it reality. So what is imagination to me is reality to another. The rising sun and the setting sun can be perceived simultaneously from different angles of vision. Within the whole creation, all experience is coexistent. What you now feel to be cool, you can easily feel to be very hot by the will of the Supreme Lord. By His will, everything is possible. Everything depends on Him. He is the ultimate cause. What you consider as intolerably hot, you'll be forced to feel as intolerably cold in a minute, if God so wills it. Everything depends upon His will, and that is coming here in either a modified way, in a general way, or in a particular special way according to His whim. In this way, there may exist a gradation in how He manifests His will, but His will is the prime cause of everything, and He is above law. We must be conscious of that, then we will be able to explain anything. Student. So he is something like a hypnotist. Yes, Srinamara says, he is a hypnotist. Everything depends on the sweet will of the Absolute. Everything is designed and destined by him. Everything is in his hands. The Absolute Center is by himself and for himself. He alone knows the purpose of everything. No one else. He alone knows his ways. No one else can know his ways. We may know only as much as he wants us to know, and that can also change by his sweet will. So he is completely free, an autocrat. And that's Maharaj, supreme order. Huh?
Maharaj, actually here, you know, like it is mentioned by Srila Siddhar Maharaj, that, you know, what is, you know, cold to us, in a minute, if Lord wants, it can be hot to us. So, like, yes. You know, scientists have discovered so many laws, like, you know, Newton's law, and, you know, there's certain way, you know, matter has to move and follow certain, you know, law. If Lord wants, that law can be changed also. So how these things we can, you know, discuss or explain?
Achintya Shakti. Oh, you have to understand Achintya Shakti is there. That, not that we can understand everything. And not within our power to understand. Meager. We apply that to reality, but then we cannot say that is the truth. In some instances it may work, in other instances it won't, just like Newton's law. So they found that Newton's law is working. In so many ways they proved it, that Newton's law is working. But there are certain instances when it doesn't work. For instance, the moon of Jupiter doesn't follow Newton's law, how it comes and goes around. Sometimes when it goes around Jupiter, we see the moon. According to Newton's law, it should have a certain periodic time for revolution, and it doesn't work out properly. And they only found after Einstein's laws, Einstein's equation of relativity, that they were able to explain that moon. Motion of the moon. It doesn't work by Newton's law. Only works by Einstein's law. Then there may be so many other things that the scientists are not telling us, that this works and it doesn't work. Just like they're having the black matter, dark matter. Means that their equations don't work. Newton's laws, Einstein's laws don't work. So they propose another thing, another thing, another thing like that. Always they're finding some fault in their laws. So what is the meaning of their laws? No meaning. There's no meaning. They think they know. They think, oh, it works here, it works there. But then, oh, suddenly it doesn't work. See? So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. And we can't depend on that. Then Vaishnavas finished that whole exercise of futility. The exercise of futility of trying to find some laws. As an exercise in futility. Oh, we know that. And we say Achintya Shakti. You can't find the law for that. It's by the will of the Lord. That is our conception. Our conception is personal. This whole reality is personal. It depends on a person and his mood, his will, his satisfaction. Just as Mahaprabhu prayed, Ashri Shiva Padara Tam Panashtumam Adarshanam Mahatam Karotuva Yata Tataya Vididanti Lampato Mat Prananatas to save an apara. Mahaprabhu is given the highest conception of our complete dependence on Krishna, who is the supreme autocrat. You may show yourself to me. You may hide yourself from me. And may crush me in your embrace, whatever makes you happy. That is your freedom. And I recognize you. You are total independence from me. And you are not depending on my will. I am depending on your will. That is the highest conception of Krishna consciousness. And that who is giving the absolute truth, the complete freedom, not giving to him, but recognizing that freedom is there already. That is the personal conception. That Vaishnavism is representing to the world. There is the divine will behind everything. And we are totally subservient to his autocratic will. But his will is all meant for all good. He has no ill intention toward anyone. His will is very sweet and meant for finding the loving aspect of everything. And the highest degree of love is found in separation. Very sad, but actually very sweet also. And that Mahaprabhu was just showing us that who has real love, he can sustain that love even if there is no reward coming to him. Not that who is looking for some reward, and then he is loving God. No, that is not love, that is business relation. Love means without any reward, I am doing my service, and I am keeping my faith, and I am feeling my affection for my Lord, my Lord, my God. You are the supreme. I am the servant. And whatever you like to do, that is for your satisfaction, not for my satisfaction. If you like to kill me, that's okay. I am ready to die a million of times for your satisfaction. That kind of love Mahaprabhu taught, and that is real love. Not only if I meet you, then I can love you. If I don't meet you, then I don't believe you are there. That kind of love is not wanted and not true. Love means with even in separation, even without anything coming from the other side, unconditional. That is pure love. And that is not based on any illusion. That according to, if one understands very deeply the ontological nature of reality, he will see it can't be anything other than that. That is a scientific understanding. And who has that understanding? He is a Krishna conscious person. He doesn't feel depressed by that. He feels rather jubilant, just as Mahaprabhu was always feeling very ecstatic. Ecstatic symptoms, unparalleled in the history of the world, were being experienced by him in those feelings of love and separation. What question you have?
Maharaj, actually, you know, like science don't address that, you know, the feelings like, you know, love, free will, you know, motherhood, yes, fatherhood, and all those things doesn't follow any laws, Maharaj. So then, you know, how to, what you can say, you know, science is, you know, including everything they say, but they don't include the, you know, these simple things also.
Love is
but probably that is included in psychological studies, isn't it?
But there is no law which they can say which is following that. I know, which is, you know, those things follow.
Love is spontaneous. Love is spontaneous, and so is freedom. Freedom is the highest thing. Free will is the highest thing in the universe. It is out of free will that love can come. Love can't be, if there is any force, then love cannot manifest. So freedom, free will, is the highest point, essential point. And free will means spontaneous. We can't, if there's any law which determines what we will do, then that's not freedom. If there's any law that makes us love Krishna, then it can't be love. So that freedom can't be explained.
Maharaj, these are the rasas.
Then the rasa is another thing. How that free will is utilized in relationship to Krishna. What type of relationship is developed will determine the rasa. First, we have to understand the basic principle, the ontological foundation of reality. We have to be convinced of that first. That's called sambandha jnana, knowing what is our present position. What is our position in respect of reality? First of all, what is reality? Who am I in that reality? What is the nature of that reality? What is the nature of myself? And what is the nature of the relationship between myself and that reality? All this is called sambandha jnana, knowledge of relationship. And then from the great teachers of the spiritual realm, we can learn abhideya and prayojan. What is the method and what is the goal? What is the method for connecting with that reality? And what is the goal of connecting with that reality? And that has been given by Rupa Goswami. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Our goal is to develop love for Krishna, and then the rasas will come. Once the prema is developed, once the love is developed, and that will depend on the purification of our own heart. When we have given up all the engagements of other things than Krishna, we are engaged with so many other things than Krishna, and Krishna doesn't mind. Go ahead. If you like to do those things, do it. They are all his energies. And without understanding properly, we are engaged in so many other things by Krishna's will only. He knows what's in our heart, and he gives us, out of his love, he is giving us facility to enjoy and to try to suck the pleasure from all those different things. He is giving us that. Out of his love for us, he can see what is very dear to us in our heart, and he gives that to you. As you like to do, he will give you the ability to do that. But once he sees that you want him, and he won't be satisfied with anything else, he may try to give you so many things. Oh, are you sure you want me? You sure you don't want this? You don't want that? Then, by showing the purity of our heart, no, I only want you, my Lord. Nothing else. I'm not looking for any big position in this world. I'm not looking for nadanam, nadanam, nasundaram. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for followers. I'm not looking for beautiful women or any beautiful person to associate with. Anything beautiful in this world, I'm not interested in a house, a car, or this or that or the other thing. I only want you. And I'm ready to accept you even. I don't want liberation. Mama Janmani, Janmani Shraya, you can give me so many births in this world. I'm not complaining about that. You may like to do that. Keep me in this world. That is okay if that is what you want. But my only wish is to be Dasa, Dasana, Dasana. My only wish is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your lordship. Even the most significant, insignificant service I want, if I can have that in your lotus, at your lotus feet, I will be more satisfied. That kind of love Mahaprabhu is teaching us. So this Vaishnavism, in the real sense, in the pure sense, is a little difficult. A little difficult if we really want to be devotees. Anyone can claim that they are a devotee. But Mahaprabhu has taught us the standard of devotion, the standard of pure devotion. Now we have to see, we have to examine very carefully our own heart to see if we have reached that standard. All right, So then he says, and that supreme autocrat can be captured only by love, not by knowledge. His ways are uncertain. How will our knowledge help us to understand him? Knowledge may be useful in understanding a thing if it follows a fixed law and has a fixed nature. But the Absolute is an autocrat. At any moment, he can change all the laws. Then how shall we know the infinite? In trying to understand the Absolute Truth, all our previous experience becomes null and void. At every second, he can show us a new color. No degree of knowledge can make any clearer statement of truth about God. Knowledge is futile in regards to the infinite. First, he is moving in one way, and then in another. On what basis will we make our calculation? His position is always changing by his sweet will. His heart can be captured only by surrender. Through surrender alone, we may please him, and if he likes, he may make himself known to us. But even then, we may know only that portion of his personality, only that much about him that he cares to reveal to us. The designer of reality is an autocrat. He is above law. We must consider this carefully. He who is designing this universe is above law. He is not under the jurisdiction of any law. He does not have any fixed nature at any time. He may change his position according to his sweet will, and whatever he wills, that must come about. Student, Bertrand Russell says that if there is a God, he must not be good. God himself is not bound by law, but if we violate the law of God, we suffer. If God were good, he could have created all souls of this world above law. If he says that, then that means he wants to become the God of gods. To Mr. Russell, we say the Absolute Truth is unknown and unknowable. How can his ways be known? He is an autocrat, and you want to impose your crooked, meager, finite experience upon the universal truth. Your experience is the limited of the limited, and you want to thrust that small experience onto the unlimited whole. It is a most deplorable argument based on an assertion of faulty knowledge. From your finite position, you want to know the measure of the whole infinite and then criticize him. What is the foundation of your criticism? For what basis are you approaching the infinite to criticize him? How much do you know about him? If you see a mother chastising her son, and you see only that portion of her behavior, you may conclude that she is very cruel. But you do not know the affection with which the mother cares for the child. You are not aware of how she feels for his future good. You are unaware of all this. You may say that she is punishing the son and that she is therefore cruel, but you do not know the context of her behavior. Every incident must have its future and its past, and you must carefully trace that out before passing any judgment or making any remark. In your case, how much are you limited in relationship to the infinite? To what extent can you understand him? Your capacity for knowing the infinite is very meager. No one should attempt to make it. Any remark about student, I have heard it said that according to Vedic ontology, the soul is marginal. Do the jiva souls in the marginal or tathasta position have knowledge that there is an upper and lower world, that there is suffering in the material world, and divine service in the spiritual world? A jiva soul has adaptability of both sides. Marginal means endowed with adaptability towards both the spiritual and material worlds without participation or any experience of either. The marginal soul, tathasta jiva, has only seed adaptability towards both. He is situated in the margin between the spiritual and material worlds, and the margin strictly means that one is in a position to analyze adaptability. He can go towards the spiritual world, and he can come towards the material world. The possibility of either is there in potentiality, but he is left to exercise his freedom. Because the soul is a conscious unit, he has free will. Freedom is inseparable from consciousness. A conscious unit and freedom are one and the same. Conscious atom means endowed with freedom. Without freedom, it is matter. Student, the soul has freedom, but does it have knowledge of the different aspects of reality? Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Because the soul is very small, his freedom is also imperfect. A soul in the marginal position is very vulnerable. Freedom does not mean absolute freedom. Because the soul's existence is small, his freedom is defective. There is the possibility of committing a mistake. Freedom of the finite, of the minute soul, does not mean perfect freedom. Complete freedom would be perfect reality, but the minute soul is endowed with the smallest atomic freedom. This is the position of the atoms of consciousness, and this is why they are vulnerable. They may judge properly or improperly. That is the position of those who are situated in the marginal position. If the soul were not endowed with the freedom to determine his position, we would have to blame God for our suffering. But we cannot blame God. The starting point of the soul's suffering is within himself. The suffering of the soul in bondage is similar to the suffering of one who is addicted to a drug. Before one begins taking intoxication, the first step towards addiction is curiosity. Then, after one has taken intoxication for a certain amount of time, he cannot do without intoxication. Our attachment to Maya or misconception is like addiction to a drug. At first we are curious, but when we become habituated to the intoxication of misconception, we are forced to continue using that intoxicating substance. Before beginning the habit, it might never have begun. But once you have begun, as much as you cultivate an addiction, the intoxication will devour you.
Maharaj? Maharaj, yes. Actually, I have one question, Maharaj, here.
Yes.
Maharaj, actually, Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj says, the soul has, this option that, whether it can go to, spiritual world or it can go to material world, Maharaj. So, like in that marginal position, and Maharaj, actually at present, all the living beings in this world, they are also Tatastha Shakti, Maharaj. So, they have both the ways, the option. So, suppose if somebody comes to material world, if that means that the soul becomes matter, that, living being. So, then what is the meaning that, to coming to material world, Maharaj?
To exploit, to think oneself above the energy of the Lord. To be the enjoyer of the energy of the Lord, that is the meaning of material life. To think that I am the Lord over the energy of the Lord, that freedom is there. To think I am the Lord or I am the servant. As soon as one thinks that I am the Lord, that the whole energy is meant for my exploitation, my enjoyment, then he becomes cast in the material atmosphere. And as soon as he recognizes, I am not the enjoyer. This world is not meant for my enjoyment. I am suffering here, and I am dependent. So dependent on many things. I can't be the Lord. I can't be the Supreme. I am the servant of the Supreme. There is something higher than me, and I am the servant. Then he goes to the spiritual side. The spiritual world becomes manifest to him. Exploitation, dedication. This is the difference between matter and spirit. Renunciation may also be there. That is the world of no determination, no difference, indifference. Renunciation, playing the Brahmajyoti of the impersonal energy of the Lord. So three spheres. The plane of exploitation is called the material world. The plane of renunciation is the Brahmajyoti, the impersonal, Brahman. And the plane of dedication is the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Goloka, depending on how one utilizes his serving capacity, how he realizes his serving tendency, either in majesty, that the Lord is the majestic feature, or in the simplicity of Vrindavan, and he serves in that simplicity, in the Lord, that simple life. Yeah, what other question?
Maharaj, actually, you know, here Maharaj says, you know, atom of consciousness. So Maharaj, you know, what that, you know, that means, Maharaj?
Atom of consciousness. That means there's a point of free will is there. Atom of consciousness. A point of free will. An atomic infinitesimal portion of free will. When we come to analyze what is, the word is means being. What is being?
Yes, Maharaj.
Being has a universal significance, a particular significance, and a singular significance. Every concept has three features to it: universal, particular, and individual, or singular. So being also has three aspects: universal being, particular being, and singular being. So the Jivatma, the infinitesimal living entity, is part of the particular being. The particularity of being is the Jiva. The being of the free will of the Lord also has its particular aspect that is called the infinitesimal Jiva, the Jivatma. And the universal will, the in particular will of the Jiva, and the individual will of Krishna. We'll have to look at that very philosophically to understand how Jiva must be there according to the rules of thought, how thought is constructed. We cannot but conclude that the Jiva must also be there, the infinitesimal freedom, the infinitesimal consciousness. Is must be there, as much as he is there, then the universal consciousness, the universal free will must also exist. Who can't think in any different way than that? Who has carefully conceived, carefully considered how thinking is constructed, then he must conclude these things. The first cause of our entanglement with material nature was our mixing with Maya in a play of curiosity. But as much as we make friends with her, so much she comes to devour us. In this way, we are in the clutches of Maya. But in the beginning, our involvement was very slight, like one experimenting with drugs. The beginning of our play with Maya involved the voluntary misuse of our free will, and that has led us to this present stage where Maya has devoured us. Maya means our attraction for intoxication. Where there is love of exploitation, there is Maya. And truth is the opposite of exploitation. Truth is found in dedicating everything for the center, for Krishna. Student, if in the marginal position tathasta, the soul has exposure to both reality and illusion, why doesn't he have enough discrimination to come to the right path? Sridhar Maharaj, he has no real depth of discrimination, only a little discrimination. But it is there. However small it may be, it is there. Student, can he also go to the spiritual domain of the Lord? Sridhar Maharaj, yes. And some souls do go to that side. Some go to that side, and some come to this side. The soul has independence. Not all come to one side or the other. Then there would be some compulsion. But there is no compulsion. It is a free choice. So some are coming to this side and some are going to that side. Student, is there any knowledge that can come from outside? Or is it possible for the soul in the marginal position to get help from an outside agent? Srila Sridhar Maharaj, at every stage in our existence, outward help is present. But in the undifferentiated stage of spiritual existence in the marginal plane, only higher agents can help. An ordinary saintly person cannot detect the defects or transcendental qualities in the undifferentiated soul. Such help is the work of a higher personality. Only God himself, or an exalted or empowered sentient person, can help a soul in that condition. Suppose you have a newborn baby. Only a doctor who is a specialist with advanced knowledge can treat the newborn. But when the child is a little grown up and can talk, he can explain the symptoms of what is paining him. At that time, an ordinary doctor may help him. Ordinary saints cannot help us in every stage of life. They can guide us and help us only up to a certain standard. But the Lord himself and those highly empowered saints who are closely connected to him can help us in any stage of our spiritual development.
So Maharaj, here it is, Maharaj wants to say that, sometimes people ask, satsanga, that, how we, put into, this difficult situation of, action and reaction. That means, Maharaj, we are responsible for our, present condition that, we came because we selected that choice.
Yes, the karma comes from exploitation. You see, we are not meant to enjoy in this world. And whatever action we make to enjoy this world, then a reaction must come because it is unnatural. We think it is natural for us to enjoy in this world, but actually it is unnatural. Then a reaction comes. What you try to enjoy, you must pay. It's payback. That's called the law of nature. That law is there, the law of karma. What you take for yourself, then you must also have to make a sacrifice. This in the Vedic culture, the yajna, the sacrifice is there. A yajna was done to get some enjoyment. If you want some enjoyment, you have to make some yajna, some sacrifice. Just like you want to get a good job, you have to go to school. And going to school means you have to sacrifice. You can't go out and play and do whatever you want. You have to become serious. You have to study very hard. And that kind of yajna, that kind of tapasya, will bring you some higher position in this world. So sacrifice, it has its reward. It comes with its reward. Reward and sacrifice go together. Whereas when you get to that high position and then you try to enjoy without it making any sacrifice, what happens is that your position goes down. Then you must ultimately suffer, just like all these people who are trying to make so much money, and all of a sudden everything collapsed, and they are now there in a very distressful situation. They don't know what their future will be. It's very bleak, and all the world is under that crisis, financial crisis, because they're simply trying to enjoy unlimitedly, that the reaction has to come to them. Devotees don't have to worry about those things. They're not influenced by that, because their interest is not how to make money unlimitedly or whatever and enjoy unlimitedly. They're always thinking in terms of negative, what I can do, what I can serve, what I can give of myself. And for them, they're always getting. Who is always giving, they will always be getting. That's the law.
Yes. Maharaj, actually, sometimes we think how we originally entangled into this, karmic cycle. So
by thinking I can get happy. But the point is that by giving, then everything will be given to me. The more I can give, the more that things will come. By giving, you'll get. By getting, you'll be taken from you. Process is giving, sacrificing. You have to become a sacrificing unit. That is called devotee. Devotee is willing to sacrifice everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. And when Krishna sees that, he gives some joy, some happiness, some peace to his devotee. Because he sees he is no longer trying to become a competitor to the Lord. Lord is the enjoyer. Devotee doesn't try to compete with the Lord. It's enjoyment. Lord has so many beautiful women who adore him. If the man thinks so, I can have so many beautiful women to adore me, then he becomes competitor, and he will have to suffer, because it is not his natural position. the natural position is just to glorify Krishna and glorify the Lord. And by doing that, by giving up everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, Krishna will reward him with satisfaction. Real satisfaction comes only by service, because that is our constitutional position. It's not some artificial position that the scriptures or the priests are telling us, you must do like this, you must do like that. No. It is our constitutional position. It means we are made for that. We are made for the service of Krishna, and our happiness will be found only in the service of the Lord, therefore. No other thing will make us happy. Can't make us happy. And some reaction will come. And we may think for some time we are happy, but then a reaction will come and we'll find our position is unhappy. As much as we try to enjoy, we will have to suffer. That is the law of karma. Either voluntarily or involuntarily, we will have to make some sacrifice for our exploitation. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, our Srinivas Prabhu wants to ask one question to you, Maharaj.
All right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Srinivas Prabhu.
Dhanavad Pranam Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, actually, intelligence and somewhat thought is coming, Maharaj.
Yes.
At what they coming, Maharaj? At what that thought like that, no, Maharaj? And well, according to karma or anything, Maharaj?
Yes. Thought Maharaj? Coming from our desire. Our desire? Our desire?
Maharaj.
We will think a thought will be created according to our desire. Thought is also a kind of subtle matter. And so according to our desire, some thoughts will come to fulfill that desire. That may help that desire to increase.
Wow.
But we have to understand that what is the source of that thought. And then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, right, that I am the source
of
knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Krishna says, Mataksmatir Gyanam Apohanancha. Sarvasya Chaham Ridishani Vishto, Mataksmatir Gyanam Apohanancha. Means that Krishna is in your heart and he knows your desire. And he's giving you the intelligence, the knowledge, the remembrance, the forgetfulness, whatever is required. He's giving that to you from within your heart. He knows what you want. Your desire is, and he's arranging everything, the subtle and the gross. He's arranging that for you according to your desire. So unless your desire is very pure, very purely dedicated to him, you won't get him. You'll get so many other things, and he'll give you the thoughts and the desires that will manifest that. So it has to begin from your heart, your freedom, the free will in your heart. What you want, that will be arranged for you by the will of the Lord. Man proposes and God disposes. We have to understand that. He is seeing from your heart, within your heart, what you want. And not outside, he's inside of you. So you can't hide anything from him. He is so intimately connected with you that you can't hide anything from him. He knows everything. And he knows then when you are really serious about loving him, about turning your attention toward him, then he will give you the thoughts. He will give you the knowledge. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He will give the knowledge by which you can come to him. That is the Lord of the heart. That is his business. No, there is no substitute for purity. What is the purity of your intention? What is the sincerity of your heart? That is all in all. Everything will be determined from that. Your own sincerity.
Maharaj, dream is also like that, Maharaj, a different Maharaj?
Yes, yes, dream is like that also. Dream is based upon our desires and also our karma. We will have to experience different nightmares or different beautiful thoughts depending on our karma, what actions we have performed in the gross world. That will also affect our subtle, the subtle things that during the dream. Some devotees, they dream about the devotees. That is a blessing. Others dream about some horrible events, a nightmare. And that is a punishment. Karma. But that is coming by the will of the Lord also. Is it clear? Can you understand that? Can you accept that? Yes?
Yes, Maharaj. The dream is coming, Maharaj. That is that is the karma, past karma. No, that's why, Maharaj.
Yes, it may be a karmic reaction. Okay. Maybe from some activity we did. Something we ate that was not proper. Or cooked by someone who was not proper. May also produce some reaction in the subtle plane. Thank you, Guru.
Raj. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hari Bol. All right. And then, any other questions? So next time, we'll begin on this next chapter, the super subject. Page 114.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, thank you all for listening.
Yes,
for your kind hearing.
Jai Shri Pad Bhakti Madhav Puri Maharaj ki jai.
Jai Gaur Bhakti Vindu ki jai. My humble Dandava Pranams to all. Hari Bol, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Shri Lishita Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Dandat Pranam Maharaj. Hare Krishna.